Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Mercedes Lewis, poor Mercedes Lewis. So he's a UCLA Bruin.
Yep.
Let's go to him now, his beautiful home. I'm not going to tell you where it is. It's by one of my favorite restaurants in Los Angeles, but I'm not going to tell you where it's at. So as you watch that UCLA loss, just take me to emotionally where you were watching that game.
Well, I was at the house. One of my really good friends and business partners also went to UCLA. She played on a basketball team as well and then played about 4 or 5 years in Germany pro. So, you know, we were over here kind of just breaking the game down as it was going along. From a cerebral standpoint, I felt like, you know, the Bruins went out there and played a pretty perfect game.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's some easy buckets that we would have wanted back. But, you know, they went out there and played how you're supposed to play. And for them to lose in that way, I'm still heartbroken for them.
I was going to say, if as I was talking to you before we went on the air, you were still down. Have you ever had a football game like that? Well, you're down a week later.
Yeah. I mean, I think my junior year when we played against USC at home, you know, when they had Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, that game was a back and forth game,
yep.
Probably the closest game that I had against SC when I was there. And, you know, it was a couple bad calls, ball didn't bounce our way a couple times. Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, I'm watching this. This Johnny Juzang got himself into the NBA. I feel like that will get him into the NBA, even though I know there's more to it. You know, it's funny. I was saying this, Mercedes. Everybody, the NBA sometimes dismisses college basketball. Like, G League's better and the International League. And my takeaway is I wouldn't know who Zion is without college basketball. I wouldn't know who Jalen Suggs is. There's a kid named Jalen Green who may get drafted third or fourth. I have no emotional connection. Jalen Suggs, I thought, made multiple million dollars in a Nike shoe deal or a Reebok shoe deal or whoever because he's got a story. If you came out today, and I got nothing against the G League, but I think we dismiss the platform of college basketball and college football. Baker Mayfield's got 10 commercials. He's not a top 10 quarterback, but he's got more commercials because of Oklahoma, because I watched him. So your takeaway, if you had a son that was a great basketball player or you were coming out of high school and were close to the NBA, would you go college for the March Madness, the platform, the facility, or would you go G League? What would you do? Or international?
I guess that would depend on, you know, what type of player I am. Obviously, you have your, you know, LeBron James, your Kobe Bryants that can just do it straight out of high school. And then you have, you know, the guys that are in high school that could potentially make some noise, but, you know, want to go make some money. So the G League would be their option. But, you know, if you are a highly talented, great high school basketball player and you understand that, like, yo, a year in college wouldn't do you bad, but only, you know, only thing you can do is, you know, raise your stock. I would go to college just because of the platform, for sure.
Did you like your college experience, even though you knew you got hit for years, didn't get paid? Did you enjoy the college experience as an athlete?
I did. I mean, I wanted to go to UCLA since I was 8 years old. And, you know, once it started to get closer, as far as me signing and getting ready for college, you know, I was just blessed to be in that position. Obviously, you know what Westwood is like. You know, if I could do it all over again, I probably wouldn't, but I really enjoyed my experience at UCLA.
Yeah. So you chose to stay with the Packers and you chose to stay and play in the NFL. For you now, the money's not the driving force. What is keeping you in the NFL?
I think, you know, naturally when I wake up in the morning, you know, I like to reflect and think back on the things that, you know, has always, you know, helped me be able to sustain this long career. And I think just knowing that, you know, what I do is not for everybody. And, you know, for 12 years, I was in Jacksonville playing my butt off, not necessarily competing for anything big until the last couple years. And you know, I finally get on a squad where they understand my skill set. Obviously, I got a goated quarterback, you know, and definitely have some unfinished business. So, you know, at this point in my career, to be able to compete, people to see me more and more, you know, on television, dominating my position, you can't ask for more. So I'm going to roll until the engine don't work no more.
By the way, Kyle Pitts is about as good a prospect I've seen at tight end, the kid from Florida. If you sat him down and said, okay, here's two things I'm going to tell you about the NFL that's different from college, what would they be?
I just think the level of competition and how cerebral you have to be in the film room and film study. I think, you know, as a young guy coming in, everybody's fast, big, strong. But how well you can break down film, how well you can, you know, find tendencies and make sure that you always have an edge going into the week. I mean, obviously, look at me. I'll be 37 in May. You know, you don't make it 16 years in the league just walking on the field. Like, it just doesn't happen that way. So being able to have a routine, understanding, you know, your strengths and also your weaknesses, and being able to, you know, get the most out of yourself every Sunday is the most important thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Aaron Jones took a little less money to stay in Green Bay, which for a running back is rare. Did he confide in you? Because I think Green Bay is a good place to play. I mean, they treat you well. They treat you great. You win a bunch of games. I got Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to be out of games. The division's winnable. And when he took less money, what was your initial reaction?
Well, you know, I had talked to Aaron maybe three or four times before he had signed his contract, and he just leaned on me a little bit just for advice. Obviously, I've seen it all. And what I told him is that, look, you know, there's no question about what type of player you are. Depending on, you know, where you want to go or who's looking at you, it's going to be around the same money, right? So understand that, like, you know, you can sign and go somewhere else, but the grass may not be greener. You could get there and the quarterback not really be what you're used to, or the scheme and how we're able to get, you know, how A-Rod is able to get you to rock may not be the same. And so, you know, take some time to understand, you know, what you're going to be doing and where you want to end and see yourself at the end of the road. And I think he made a great decision. I think they do a really good job of getting Aaron Jones involved. And I told him, I said, hey, man, you're not going to have a tight end like me on the edge blocking for you. So you might want to take that into account, too.
That's right. Kyle Pitts doesn't want to block. I've watched him. He got no interest blocking, that's for sure. You're about 2 years from retiring and just going to UCLA games all the time, aren't you? Just hanging out at Pauley and doing your thing.
100%. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that don't look forward to being able to work out when I want to work out, not be told what to do, being able to go to UCLA, watch games, and just reflect on the really good times that I've had, not just as a player, but the man I've become. So, you know, when that time comes, I'll be ready for it and excited about it.
Well, you signed a 2-year, $8 million deal. I know that restaurant around the corner from your house. Why don't you go buy some chicken parm tonight and live big, fella? Just go.
Chicken parm on me whenever you're ready, bro.
You can get me some free Bruin tickets, too. They think I'm a Trojan homer, but I go to UCLA games. Mercedes, love you, man. Great seeing you again.
Love you, too, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Mercedes Lewis, one of the really good guys. Isn't that great? Aaron Jones goes to Mercedes Lewis. Big fella. Lead me through the way. You tell me what to do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, it's funny. And Mercedes Lewis, his, and I bring Mercedes on half a dozen times a year, and Mercedes is like, listen, man, you can make kind of the same money all the time. I told somebody this weekend, a buddy of mine, he's always complaining about L.A. taxes. And I said, filet mignon costs money too. I said, well, Texas. And I said, Texas is a beautiful place. I said, but from May 15th to September 15th, it's an oven. You can stay inside. You're not going to do much outside, right? You're not going to surf. You don't go beach. You're not going to ski. You don't go mountains. I'm like, everything costs something. You can't get everything and not. I said, like, here it's 72 degrees every day. I said, if you're going to be a tax gypsy, go live in New Hampshire. Go live in Wyoming. My takeaway is, what the quality of your life, if you have confidence in yourself, Aaron Jones does.
Yeah.
If you have confidence in yourself, I'll figure out the taxes. Well, I'm not going to
pay taxes for the rest of your life.
You're going to have to pay.
Let that wash over you. Accept it.
Yeah. And I'm not saying
this is a reality.
I'm not saying I love all the taxes. I personally love
to pay taxes. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Mine, it's not. But my takeaway was, I think what Mercedes was saying, you know, you live in Green Bay, you don't pay anything for a house. You live in L.A., you pay a lot for a house and you get taxed. But you live in L.A., and by the way, Netflix is here. They want you to do a special. And all these networks are based here. And
it's a city of champions.
It's a city of opportunities.
Yes.
Bill Simmons said that once to me years ago. He said, the power of the Pacific. You wake up in L.A. optimistic. It's sunny every day.
Well, I mean, it's Hollywood. There's
a new idea every day.
The streets are paved with stars.
That's right. Or people that want to be work hard and never get there. But that's okay, too.
But you wake up with a dream every day.
I just got free chicken parm. At this point.
Yeah, Mercedes doesn't know that you're going to fall asleep at dinner if he gets your chicken parm. That's your melatonin.
Well, he doesn't know I'm going to take him up on it.
Well.
Because he lives right next to one of my favorite restaurants in L.A.
It's very good.
And that's a star restaurant.
Yes.
Like a famous people.
That's an expensive bill he just decided to pick up.
You go out with me a couple cocktails later. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Kevin Durant hasn't played since February 13th, but he is getting close to making his return. Steve Nash said over the weekend there's a high probability that KD comes back this week.
Like to see him play.
Yes, there was an outside chance he could play tonight against the Knicks, but that's been ruled out. His next opportunity could be Wednesday against New Orleans. The Nets are 22-9 in the 31 games KD's missed this season. And Harden's obviously doing great, averaging 27.2 points, 9.2 rebounds, 10.7 assists per game. And in 24 games, he's been with the Nets without KD this season. So they've been fine without him, but that does not mean that you want to go into the postseason without KD healthy. You don't want to be in a situation where the Lakers are in right now where you have an indefinite answer on when AD or LeBron are going to be back. So this is a great situation for them, actually.
I honestly think, I'm not a conspiracy theory person, but I think the Brooklyn Nets and the Lakers, this is what I think they're doing now. They're just sitting there thinking, the hell are we rushing these guys back? Why is KD and AD going to rush back? We're going to meet in the finals. So what are we doing here? Denver's the only obstacle to me, the only true obstacle for the Lakers because of Aaron Gordon. I think those teams know more than they're saying, and they keep being optimistic, but they're pushing their guys back because their takeaway is we're meeting in the finals.
Well, they're not built for the regular season. They're not concerned about being good during the regular season.
So why take 80 and KD.
And you've seen what happened to KD when you rush him back. It's a disaster.
So I think that Brooklyn and the Lakers are just sitting there thinking, you know, they'll come out and say, we're very close. Doing treatment. The best doctors. And they're all just winking and going, listen, can we get to like 12 games left?
I would prefer to be in the Nets situation over the Lakers situation. I do think that they're not going to rush LeBron and AD back. But AD is, I mean, I guess KD has had some injury history as well, but there's just more with the Nets right now. I feel in a better situation with the Nets than I would with the Lakers. But I'm with you. They just both need to be healthy going into the postseason. They're built for the postseason. They're built for the finals. They're not concerned about where they're seated. Right. It just doesn't matter. So the Seahawks have been building around Russell Wilson this offseason. They signed tight end Gerald Everett and traded for Gabe Jackson. They could be looking to add some more depth at wide receiver. Russell Wilson has always wanted to play with Antonio Brown, not always, but for a while now. And according to Jeremy Fowler, Seattle could swoop in and get AB if he doesn't re-sign with Tampa. He had a solid 2020 season, 45 passes.
Solid.
Catching 45 passes for 483 yards and 4 touchdowns in 8 regular season games. But he was great in the Super Bowl and was clearly one of those role players that really mattered. I, again, don't think there's a massive market for Antonio Brown, and the teams that have been mentioned are the ones that make the most sense. They have great cultures, their quarterback is set, their front office is solid. You know what you're going to get with those organizations being Tampa, Baltimore, and Seattle. I don't know if they really need him, but I didn't think that Tampa Bay needed him last year either.
Seattle didn't have any draft picks, so they've got... they just signed Tyler Lockett to a big deal. DK Metcalf. They have Swain. They upgraded at Gerald Everett at tight end. So their problem is they have to draft a corner. Have to. They're not good at corner, and they lost Shaquille Griffin to the Jags. So if Seattle had draft picks, I'd say forget it. But I think whether they have like a is it a second, third, fourth, or a third and fourth and seventh? So I think if Seattle had draft picks, they wouldn't do it. But they, at this point, they need another set of hands.
Yes, but Antonio Brown isn't just any extra set of hands out there. Like, there's a lot of baggage that comes with Antonio Brown. Now, he did a great job last year, but who knows what the factors were that kept those things in place.
Right.
So I think it would work there. And, you know, like I said, maybe he's changed and that's not something to be concerned about anymore. I'm sure if they are going to sign him, they're going to talk to Tampa Bay first and see how that all went. But Russell Wilson has been saying he's been trying to get him there for a while now. So Aaron Rodgers... 2-week run as a guest host of Jeopardy begins tonight. And did you know he was doing this?
Yes, I did know. I didn't know it was as long.
Yes, 2 weeks of a guest host for Jeopardy. Now, what's interesting is now he's obviously a huge fan of the show. He went on we're showing some clips when he went on as a celebrity contestant. And he's a huge Alex Trebek fan. But he said he put in a lot of work preparing for this role. So similar to preparing for a game, he watched a lot of tape. He went back and watched a bunch of episodes, took a bunch of notes. But he said when he watched it, he didn't watch it as a fan enjoying the show. He really watched Alex and, like, how he went to break and what were the beats and where did he rest and, like, did he take a jab here or there?
He's very conscientious, so that doesn't – I mean, Aaron went to Cal. He's a smart guy. I don't worry about that. I mean, I think Aaron would take it seriously.
Well, he also said that he wanted to honor Alex Trebek, so he wanted to make sure that he was, like, fully prepared. But, you know, we're in the business, so we know how these things work.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more to doing a television show and hosting a television show than just standing up there and making jokes. Like, you have to look into certain cameras, and you have to read at certain times. You have to make sure you get to break at certain times.
Can I throw this out there? I don't like Aaron Rodgers' mustache on the show.
What is it with you and mustaches now?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. He's handsome enough. He doesn't need a mustache. I think that...
Mustache is such a strong look, though.
See, but I think he looks better without a mustache.
Well, he's got a whole beard thing going here.
Well,
that's not just a mustache.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the dimple. He looks good, clean shaven or with the scruff. He doesn't need
a
mustache.
You don't need the full beard. It's a full beard, though.
But he doesn't look like a game show host with that mustache.
I disagree. I like the facial hair. I think he looks good either way.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good-looking person.
Yes, but the beard doesn't bother me, though. I like facial hair, though. You've gone back to the other side now.
Mustache.
You're full in on the facial hair, and now I think, you know what? Things are starting to get a little warmer, you know?
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
So it starts tonight.
Starts tonight for 2 weeks, yes.
All right.
He took it very seriously.
Well, good for him. Yeah. Honoring Alex Trebek.
Yes.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Playing Trevor Lawrence. Do I want Trevor or star quarterbacks for the foreseeable future? How good do I think he is?
Do you like football? Do you like the NFL draft? Well, guess what? I have you covered on the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff. I need you to go subscribe right now because we're talking the draft. We're talking Zach Wilson. We're talking Justin Fields. Mac Jones. Is he really going to go to the 49ers? I have it all covered. I used to scout in the NFL, and now I talk about football on the 3 and Out podcast. Go subscribe right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So for the next 5 years, and I considered everything, injuries, age, whatever, interests, declining, ascending, I think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, and I think maybe even a little better than Luck in terms of his ability to move, played in far more big college games. So Joy will ask me, we'll call it Trevor, you'll put up young quarterbacks, old quarterbacks, next 5 years, who would I take, Trevor Lawrence or the quarterback?
Trevor Lawrence or Russell Wilson?
Very difficult, but as I've told you, I don't love the current situation with Seattle, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson. This was my hardest choice. I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence. This was my hardest choice. I don't think Russell Wilson will be in Seattle in one more year, two more years. And if he doesn't go there, I don't know. I love it. Also, Russell Wilson... has, because of his salary, is going to strap wherever he plays, and I don't always trust Seattle's drafting history. Next 5 years, I'm this is the first time I've been like, it's not even negative, it's been concerned about Russell Wilson.
Trev or Justin Herbert?
Trevor Lawrence or Justin Herbert. I would go Justin Herbert. I think he is a slightly more talented version of Trevor Lawrence. I think he's stronger. I think he's got a better arm and he's stronger. Trevor Lawrence, 22 years old, 30-plus touchdown passes, set an NFL record. Also, he's got a very good football team around him. We don't know. Jacksonville is going to get there. And he's also, like Trevor Lawrence, not going to cost you anything for the foreseeable future. His contract is not an issue.
Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson?
Well, this is easier now. Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun has had a bumpy offseason. And I, to be honest, both Clemson. I think Trevor just throws a better football. I really do. And I also worry about Deshaun Watson's playmaking style and his injury. So that's an easy one for me.
Trevor Lawrence or Kyler Murray?
I would go Trevor Lawrence, and I like Kyler Murray. Listen, Trevor's 6'6 and 220, and Kyler's small. And I also think Kyler Murray in 1 year, Joy, may have a new coach. That worries me. Also, Kyler Murray's in the toughest division in football. Pete Carroll, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. It's a great pass rushes in that division. Aaron Donald and Carlos Dunlap and what Seattle's got and San Francisco and Bosa. So I would take next 5 years, I think Trevor Lawrence in a kind of a goofier, more winnable division would flourish.
Trevor Lawrence or Aaron Rodgers?
5 years, Trevor Lawrence. Aaron's 37. Again, don't think it's always great with he in the front office. They don't have the ability to get free agents. He's had two collarbone injuries. He's got other interests. And in the last four NFC championship games, he's 0-4. Not always the greatest leader, although a great talent. Next 5 years, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen. See, because Josh Allen has it all. Good owner, good GM, good coach, and I think after this draft, a really good defense. So Josh Allen's bigger, stronger, better arm, and a little faster as a runner.
Trevor Lawrence or Lamar Jackson?
Trevor Lawrence is a better thrower of the football. Lamar's going to get expensive here in about a year, year and a half. I also think that division, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati is loaded. So I would take Trevor, who I think is just a better distributor of the football.
Trevor Lawrence or Matthew Stafford?
Pretty easy one. I mean, the Rams are having to kind of scale back on some players. Do you see the Rams lost their center, Austin Blythe? So Rams offensive line is going to be very tricky this year for Matt Stafford. He may not be getting the upgrade on O-line that he thinks. He's also very expensive. The Rams have very little cap space. So I think he makes them better. But the next 5 years, also, Stafford's been whacked a few times. He's been hit a lot.
Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow?
Trevor Lawrence. I worry about the injury. And I always say, one more injury to Joe Burrow this year. And there, by the way, Cincinnati has never been a big spender in free agency. They don't manipulate the draft. I think they'll get an offensive lineman. What if they don't? Right now, I don't have any health concerns with Trevor Lawrence, who I think is a bigger, stronger athlete than Joe Burrow.
Trevor Lawrence or Dak Prescott?
Trevor, more naturally gifted. Dak's highly expensive right now. And though the salary cap, it's one of the interesting things about the salary cap. It's going up, no question.
Yeah.
But even the deal, for instance, that like Fox, we just signed a new NFL deal. That doesn't start for 2 years. Everybody thinks it starts next year. Oh, the cap's going to fly up. No, it doesn't. That 11-year NFL contract does not start for a couple years. So for like here at Fox, we don't pay the last year, but like 13 years. So the cap's going to go up, but not as fast as you think. And that's going to limit what Dak Prescott, who he can play with. So I take Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence or Patrick Mahomes?
Mahomes. Okay. Mahomes also has, like Josh Allen, the owner, the GM, the coach, the weapons. He's going to get expensive. And so they just spent a ton on their offensive line, Joe Tooney. Right now, I'm not sure exactly what they're doing at tackle. And Mahomes has been banged up a little bit. That does concern me a little bit, but I would take Mahomes.
Trevor Lawrence or the GOAT, Tom Brady?
Tom Brady. Because I think Brady's playing minimum 3 more years in the NFL. And I think he's going to take pay cuts for the next 3 years, meaning he's going to play with great players around him. And the offensive line's talented and young. So I think Brady's going to play for at least three more years, I would guess today. For so everybody's got Brady leaving the league, and I'm like, no, do you understand last year was jet fuel to play another 4 years in the NFL? So even though he may not play five, I doubt he does, the next four, he's going to be a favorite to win the Super Bowl. The only one I'm doubting is the Russell Wilson one.
That was very, very interesting choice by you. I can't wait to see how these quarterbacks play during the regular season.
I may flip the Trevor Lawrence, Russell Wilson. You guys put it first. You gave me no chance to warm up. I really do though. Here's what concerned me about Russell, that he went public with the teams, and I didn't like the teams he listed at all. They were not outside of New Orleans, where he's got no chance to play there. Is Las Vegas
so
a winning?
New Orleans, Vegas.
Not a winning culture.
Dallas and Chicago.
Dallas
would have been incredible.
Chicago. So it's like he didn't make the best football choices. Like the best football choices.
Yeah, outside the Saints, it was not really a football choice.
So something's happened. I didn't love public, but I get it. But when he made those four choices, I thought, who's calling the shots here? I don't like Seattle's got no draft picks this year. I think they've done a good job in Seattle getting him help. I think Gabe Jackson and Gerald Everett are real upgrades. They re-signed their fullback. They re-signed Carson. Something's not right in Seattle. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be there in 2 years. I'm not sure he's going to be there.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be there after this year. I really don't. I think he and his agent, Mark Rogers, they're tired of Seattle's front office and Pete Carroll and John Snyder going to Trey Lance's workout day and Josh Allen's workout day when they've got him in his prime. And that ticks them off. When those guys keep going to Wyoming to Josh Allen's pro day and the Dakotas for Trey Lance's pro day or wherever that pro day was, Russell Wilson and his people do not like that.
It was understandable.
Yeah, he's
but
like,
it's also kind of what the league is now.
I know, but he's 32 with no injuries.
I get it. It would bother me.
All right. Very excited for the game tonight. I'm going to call my shot right now. I'm not going to waste any time.
What is it?
92-85-86 Zags.
So a close one.
How about 91-85? That's what I'm going to do. 91-85. A lot of scoring. It is, I'll tell you, that Johnny Juzang did not win, but when you watch him play, you cannot tell me college basketball did not elevate him. He became a go-to scorer for UCLA.
I think it was also great for UCLA for branding and recruiting.
I mean, hard-nosed. If you're a UCLA fan, I know the loss hurt. That's got to be one of your favorite teams ever. That has to be one of your favorite UCLA teams of all time. That team was so – remember, UCLA's campus is in Bel Air. It is the nicest college campus, not only in America, in the world.
It's beautiful.
It's in one of the richest enclaves in the – it'd be like putting NYU in the Hamptons. It is in literally Bel Air. It looks like I can't afford to live near UCLA's campus. It is like Holmby Hills, and it's like the world's richest people.
And yeah, it looks like right Hogwarts.
Yeah, it doesn't even look like a college campus. And yet they were this tough, hard-nosed, in-your-face, scrappy team. I found UCLA to be so incredibly, infinitely likable. All right, Zags, Baylor tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.